Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Listening to Cross the Border, and we're finishing up on the book of Leviticus today. We're in chapter 26, we've really began it. We're talking about images and idols, the kingdom of Yahuwah, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. All of those things mean the same thing. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will give you rain in due season, the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. I'm going to skip down here, verse 9. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And we know that he did all of this for national Israel. And of course, we know that he says, if you will not, yet for all this, hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And all of these punishments and judgments that were pronounced here in Leviticus were carried out on Israel because they continually turned away as a nation. And no surprise there, really. I mean, if we take a look at history, the history of mankind, the nation that I live in, the whole earth, and we'll find that the majority of man in every nation, in any nation, under just about every, in any circumstance, that the majority is inclined to worship, to fall into idolatry of one sort or another. It's the condition of mankind. And I was thinking about Adam and Eve, how they fell from sin, and then they started having children, and just watching their children, because they fell, and of course, they repented, and we find that information in the context of the Old Testament itself, in the book of Genesis, that they were looking forward to the redemption that they were told about, that was promised to them there in the beginning. To the seed of the woman and the redemption, the promised Redeemer. And so we know that they were living a life of obedience, looking forward to that. But what a disappointment for them to watch the majority of their children come up and live disobediently, you know, so much so that until, Abel was born, of course, then Abel was murdered by his brother, who did not love God or love his neighbor, obviously. And then when Seth was born, then it said, then men began to call on the name of Yahuwah. It's a sad statement. I mean, it's a happy statement that then men began to call on the name of Yahuwah, the Lord. But the sad statement is that so many did not, that statement would have to be made. And a very sad thing for Adam and Eve to see the result of their disobedience to the Creator, not knowing what disobedience was until they had fallen into it And of course, they repented, and I have repented, and I call everyone to repentance. As you know, my calling is not greater than my master's. You know, there are plenty so-called ministers out there who are preaching new and different gospels, and somehow they think that it's appropriate for them to preach a different message than the master, but I can't do that. He went about preaching, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," and that's my message too, is to repent. And repentance is not a dirty word. It means to change your mind, to think differently afterwards, because we've all sinned. You know, as the scripture says, we have all fallen short. We've all missed the mark. We were born the children of disobedience. We were taught disobedience. You know, after all these things, you know, seeking after things, that's idolatry. After all these things do the nations or the Gentiles seek. And it was no different in Israel there. The majority of Israel, they were idol worshippers too. They were seeking things rather than the Heavenly Father and His righteousness. But repent means to change your mind. Another term in the scripture is to have your mind renewed, to renew your mind. Another way that it's put in the scripture is to have His law written upon your heart. That's changing your mind, or in your mind and on your heart. And he says that, "I will write my law in their minds and upon their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they will be my people." You know, that's changing your mind, renewing your mind. That's what repentance means. And he calls all men everywhere to repent. And so because we live in a land where they purport to have religious liberty, but when their policy enforcers, the policy enforcers, the beast, stop you, well, they want you to show your sin papers. Actually, your sin papers. Papers that prove that you have broken the law of God. That sounds pretty funny, don't it? Papers to prove that you have broken the law of God. And you say, how could that be? Well, I got to get something. I'll be back in a few seconds. Don't go anywhere. Anyway, I have some things written down. I didn't expect to do this, but I carry some papers. I carry my own papers with me so that I can show them. And something I have considered is writing a declaration of repentance, you know, based on my religious liberty. But, you know, what is the sin? What are the papers that prove that you have sinned and you belong to the image of the beast? Isn't that a funny way to put it? But, you know, it's just, it becomes so clear to me. And most people think I'm nuts, but, you know, bear with me, I guess. You know, if you can prove me wrong by the scriptures, then go ahead. Yeah. Old and New Testament law prohibiting participation in Social Security by citizens of His kingdom. I consider Social Security is the mark of a beast. And indeed it is. It's the mark of a beast. Who can deny that? It is a governmental mark that identifies you. And it says on their little card, it says, not to be used for identification. Sorry, I have to laugh at that. Because they're giving you an identifying number that identifies you as belonging, as one of theirs, and they tell you it's not to be used for identification. What is it then? You know, if it's not to be used for identification, why do you need it? Well, they need it so they can identify you. You know, as what account you belong to or which account is yours. It's an identifying number. You know, and that's what a mark is. When you mark something, you put your name, your mark on it, it identifies it as belonging to you. Right? Anyway, Exodus 20:17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So how's Social Security coveting? Well, if my neighbor has to take out of his substance to provide for me in my old age or under some circumstance against his will, am I not stealing from him? I mean, it's not a free will offering. That goes against the law of God. The law of God commands charity from no one. So if the state or the image forces you to give me charity, then that's covetousness, because I'm taking part in a system that looks forward to robbing my neighbor and robbing him against his will. That's covetousness, isn't it? To me it is. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if believers entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse, my son, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Let us all have one purse. It says, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to have cast in my lot with the ungodly to have one purse with them. That's a picture of enforced insurance and forced Social Security scheme. Yes, I'll pool our money together with the heathen. Let us all have one purse. Cast in your lot with us. You know, and we'll rob the widows and the poor and so that you can have money when you're old. You know, the promise is that you get $500 or $600 a month when you get old. You going to sell your soul for that? And I repented of that. I repent. And that's why I say, you know, anyone can write up a declaration of religious of repentance based on religious liberty and say, hey, I don't have your travel papers because they require me to break my father, my heavenly father, the law of God, in order to get them. And life is short, but eternity is forever. So you can beat me up, you can kill the flesh, but I'm going to live forever in his kingdom. Because his word says, fear not him who can kill the flesh, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. We got more here. See, Romans, owe no man anything but to love one another. So if I take part in their socialist security scheme, well, then I owe my neighbor something besides loving him. I owe him money. I got to pay for him in his old age. I owe him something because I signed up to owe him something. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal. So if the government steals for you, are you stealing? Yeah. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Is it covetousness? Yes. To covet that which belongs to your neighbor, some image is going to, or policy enforcers are going to extract from him by the barrel of a gun. Is that covetousness? Yes. And if there be any other commandment is briefly comprehended in the same, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfilling of the law. So it's not charity if it's forced. See, the law of God, loving your neighbor means that you voluntarily give to him. You don't hold a gun to his head and say, you know, that's working ill to your neighbor. If I have their policy enforcers go and extract money from my neighbor for me, that's working ill toward my neighbor. So there's more. So it gets worse and worse. And finally, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more throughout the scripture, but finally, 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, that's what you're doing. That's the same thing that was prohibited in Proverbs 1:10, where you're enticed by unbelievers, saying, let us have one purse, cast in your lot with us. That's the same thing as being unequally yoked with unbelievers. So, For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith Yahuwah, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And definitely want to be received. Like I said, life is short, but forever is forever, you know. So I'm not for a little bit of comfort to avoid a little persecution. Out of fear, I'm not going to give in. But I've repented of all of those things, and I will carry my declaration with me of my declaration of repentance. You can write up your own based on, you know, get the copy of this program, write down those verses, say, based on this, I've repented of these things, therefore I cannot, you know, I cannot get your travel papers for your fascist state. Only, you know, temper your words and say everything with kindness. You don't want to offend them. I mean, they're just going to be offended because you don't want to take part in their socialist security scheme and bow down to their image. So you want to assuage them as much as you can. And even with all of that, they may taser you, drag you out of your vehicle, and haul you into jail and keep you for a while. And try, because they'll try to destroy your life, basically. And some of them will just let you go, because they don't want to hassle with it. Or some of them may be convicted because of your testimony and let you go. So you know what? You may be persecuted. But the best thing to do is to wear the seat belt, because it doesn't go against God's law to wear the seat belt. Obey their speed limit signs and try to avoid them as much as you possibly can. You know, just avoid contact with them as much as you possibly can, and pray a lot. And I think that if you do that, you may see a real intercession, and obey the voice of the Spirit. As you know, I feel like when I'm out there traveling, I'm being led by the Holy Spirit many times. And you know, sometimes you get an intuition. Don't turn that way. Go this way. And I'm telling you about a real experience I had recently, a couple years ago, or at least last year. Something in my gut was saying, don't turn that way. Go this way instead. But I didn't listen to it. I went the way I usually went. And I ended up, somebody stopped suddenly in the middle of an intersection where nobody has ever stopped before, you know, for years of driving that intersection. And I ended up rear-ending them. And so I should have listened to, and so I'm trying to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God, you know, the Spirit or leading my spirit, because I believe we all have an intuition that spills over into the spiritual realm where we can avoid mishaps, or perhaps it's their good angels, guardian angels out there communicating things with us, and we need to try to be aware of those things to be led by the Spirit. So, you know, many times, and if I had obeyed and said, okay, well, you know, something's trying to tell me not to go that way, but to go this way, well, nothing would have happened. You see? And I think I would have liked that much better than being involved in an accident where I rear-ended someone because they stopped suddenly because somebody almost darted out into the street in front of them, and they overreacted, and consequently, I hit them. So, if I had obeyed that feeling in my gut, then nothing would have happened. And see, that would have been a good thing. But see, we tend to not take advantage. Sometimes we don't even correlate. You know, wouldn't have made the correlation between that event that did happen and the gut feeling I had back there at that intersection. But I kind of put two and two together, and I decided, well, I'm going to be a little more obedient to that intuition, I believe, is a gift from our Heavenly Father, especially if we're out here, you know, trying to be in the world and not of it, and trying to live a lifestyle of repentance. And we've repented of a lot of these things that offend their policy enforcers, because I'm a good and lawful man. I want to harm no one, but I don't want to worship the image of the beast or break the law of my heavenly Father out of fear of what the policy enforcers will do, because I don't have all their I's dotted and all their T's crossed. You know, I can't live in fear. I have to fear my heavenly Father more than I fear them, because it's a reality. I don't want to be sought by the policy enforcers, and I certainly don't want to be tased or thrown into prison or lose my property because I don't want to go along and break God's law, because they require it. But who do I fear more? You know, and I really believe that is the real test. Do we fear our Heavenly Father more, or do we fear the policy enforcers of the image more? For the man of God, that is the question. Now, for the ungodly out there, you know, that's why they have the policy enforcers, because if they didn't have some fear, they would be totally unrestrained. If they thought they could murder and kill and abuse people and steal and get away with it, well, then they would do it, because that's what's in their heart. But for the man of God, that's not what's in our heart. We want to harm no one. We want to steal from no one. We want to murder no one. But we wish all men well. We wish all men peace. And we want all men to take advantage of the Redeemer, of the provision of redemption that our Heavenly Father, that He provided for us, and the grace that comes and the peace that comes through being able to enter into the Holy of Holies and go before the throne room of our Heavenly Father as a child goes before his own earthly Father that loves him so much. That's what we desire for the whole world, for everyone out there. Well, we better finish Leviticus today. I'm just having fun here, and I feel like the Holy Spirit's giving me this message, and I hope it's going deep into your heart, because it's deep in my heart, and I definitely want people to receive it and receive eternal life. There's nothing more important than that we enter into His kingdom. You know, it's better, as the Messiah says, it would be better to enter His kingdom lame and blind and halt, you know, to enter His kingdom in any condition than to not enter His kingdom at all, than to be cast both body and soul into hell. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 18, "And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins, and I will break the pride of your power. I'll make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more the plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by these things, I will walk contrary unto, and will walk contrary unto me, then I will also walk contrary unto you, and I will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant, and when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and shall not be satisfied. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins, and you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and of your daughters you shall eat, and I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and you be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths, and as long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you I will send a faintness into their hearts and the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall down when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up, and they that are left to you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquity of their fathers shall they pine away with them, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, and their trespass which they trespass against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and I also have walked contrary to them, and brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and then they accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember, and I will remember the land. And I'm going to tell you what, we all need to repent so that he'll remember his covenant with Abraham, because we are the seed of Abraham. That is what's proclaimed in his word, in the New Testament. We are the seed of Abraham, because we are the seed of Christ. We are the seed, we are of the seed of the woman, because we have accepted a new life in Christ. We've given our life to him, so that his blood covers our sins, so that when our mortal flesh, the existence of our mortal life is over, that death will have no claim on us, because it will see the righteous blood of the Messiah on us. So our sins are covered by his blood, and we will be able to escape death. That is the promise. This life is short, but eternity is forever. And if your sins are not covered by the blood, his provision, so that you could escape death, if you don't accept that, there is no other way than his truth and the life that comes from him. Enter into his kingdom. Cross the border into his kingdom. Become one of his holy nation. If you're not sure you are, then you need to cry out to him and say, please, please, Father, please, Heavenly Father, bring me into your kingdom. Teach me obedience. Teach me your truth, that I may live forever. And let that be the cry of your heart. And don't let anything get between you and receiving what the Heavenly Father has for you. Because if you allow anything to rob you of the gift of eternal life that our Heavenly Father provided through his Messiah, then remember, eternity forever is a long time. Life is short, but eternity is forever. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
I just wanna be where you are. lean daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near.
Sometimes our .com server goes down, so don't forget, we have a backup, firstamendmentradio.net. Have you seen Loose Change, the best darn documentary produced in the 911 truth movement? Why waste your money keeping up the Jones or getting stuck in plain sight when the best is free? You can find a link to download and watch the video, Loose Change, free on the firstamendmentradio.com homepage. If you don't do internet or can't download, just send $5 cash to cover shipping and handling to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare Avenue, Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, California, 93274. And we will send you a copy of this must-see, must-share DVD, Loose Change, the best darn documentary produced in the 911 truth movement. Make sure you don't miss it, and tell everyone you know.
Wow, the weather is beautiful, the cabin is terrific, and it's the first day of our vacation.
Yeah.
Honey, is there something wrong?
Yeah, I just realized we forgot to pack the travel Berkey system. I can't drink this cabin water. And what am I going to do when I'm out on the lake? Now the whole vacation is ruined.
Honey, cheer up. I brought our Sport Berkey purifiers.
What?
Yeah, I know you're picky about not having pathogenic bacteria, organic chemicals, heavy metals or foul tastes and odors in the water. So I packed our Sport Berkey purifiers.
You know, this is a terrific cabin, and wow, have you noticed the beautiful weather?
Don't ruin your vacation. Get a Travel Berkey today for only $209, or get a Sport Berkey for only $39 by calling 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, or order on the web at firstamendmentradio.com. Travel Berkey not yet available in Iowa.
Love to be in your presence with the people. Let's stand and sing that. You can clap your hands and be free tonight. Woo!
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of the program, and the object of this program right now is to go through the Bible, though I do take a lot of my Holy Ghost trails, get a lot of good preaching in as the Spirit leads, and I hope that everybody enjoys that as much as I do. I enjoy being used by the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father. And I hope that you're being blessed. I have an email address there at crosstheborder.org. You can find that email address there and email me. Would like to hear from you no matter what you have to say. What do you think about these things I'm saying? Or just that I'm one of the three people that are listening to you. Now, I'm sure there's more than three that'll hear this message, but sometimes I feel pretty alone over here sitting behind the mic because I can't see anybody. But, you know, I'm not doing this for accolades or an audience, but I'm doing this out of obedience to my Heavenly Father. Certainly not making any money doing it, because I freely receive, I freely give. All of the resources at my website are free. You can listen to the programs for free. You can listen to the archives for free, and I ask a very small donation for anyone who wants discs of the programs, who doesn't want to download them for whatever reason, or for programs like this one, if you wanted this on a disc, you could ask for it for free. It wouldn't bother me at all. I would send it to you if you asked for it. You know, you can find the address there to write if you want to receive these resources for free. To just send me an email. Well, I'll consider anything, but, you know, I'm here to rightly divide the Word of God and share that with other people out there, because there's so much error in the corporate church. Just, they can't. They're inhibited by their compromise with the state from, you know, giving you the whole Word of God. They have to even deny the power thereof. And why do they deny the power? Well, because they've accepted another power, and that is the power of the image that they are in bed with, the image of the beast, the revelation illustrates it by the phrase, the whore that rides the beast. And that would be a terrible phrase to have applied to one, but that's why I want no part of it. Okay, Leviticus, we're going to finish this up today, and we'll move on to wherever the Holy Spirit leads after we close the book of Leviticus here. He goes on. He says, yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them. And it talks about if they accept the punishment of their iniquities, if they repent, he says, I will remember. And you know, that is the position of all of those who call themselves Christians and truly, or whether you call yourself a Christian, it doesn't matter what you call yourself, it matters if you're a true member of his ecclesia. If you have made the choice to live a life of obedience and to learn obedience to our Heavenly Father because you want to live in his kingdom, you want him to be your king, you want to do only the things that please him, and you're looking forward to the redemption of and the eternal life that comes with the promise. If you're one of those people, his remnant, his holy nation, then this is what it's like for us. We are in the land of their enemies, of the enemies, because we see that all over the earth has now been erected Mystery Babylon. You know, what is encompassed by the image dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. That it's going to land and that it's going to last until it's finally obliterated and no place is found for it. When the kingdom of God comes, when he comes, he brings his kingdom in its fullness physically, and he bodily returns, and his kingdom is established throughout the earth, and all of Mystery Babylon, all of the kingdoms, the times of the nations or the times of the Gentiles, is finally over. But until that happens, this is what it's like for this. This is what I would liken our situation to. For all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, to break my covenant with them, for I, Yahuwah, am their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am Yahuwah. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which Yahuwah made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. And that ends chapter 26. But that's what it's like. It's like we are the children of Israel. We are the seed of Abraham in the land of their enemies. Because we don't have a national, physical nation anymore. That's gone, and that's been gone. It never will be established until the Messiah returns. So we need to occupy for his kingdom wherever we are, in the midst of the heathen or the Gentile or the nations of mystery Babylon around us. We need to be in the world, not of it. We need to come out of the world so that while we're in it, we're not of it. That's what the coming out part means, that we're not a part of it anymore. And that's what the repentance process is. So even if you've received their numbering system, and no matter what you've done, you need to separate yourself. You need to come out. You need to repent. And it's not something you can do instantly. I advise people to wisely back away from the beast so they don't get trampled. Because you can come out. You can wisely back away, I believe. But I believe it all starts with repentance. And perhaps writing up a declaration of repentance and severing all of your ties with them on the grounds of religious liberty, which they still have codified in their law. Whether they obey it or not, it's another thing. But anyway, it's something that we can do. I believe that when the beast that was once lamb-like, America, was once lamb-like, it was founded on lamb-like principles, is going to speak like a dragon, and that means persecution. And so we know what's coming, and we can see the change happening before our eyes. It may come a time when you'll be killed because you don't want to take part with them and be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Okay, chapter 27, let's get this done so that we can say we did it. We went through the whole book of Leviticus. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, chapter 27, verse 1, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when a man shall make a singular vow, the person shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. And thy estimation shall be made from 20 years old, even unto 60 years old, even, excuse me, even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. And if it be a female, then thy estimation shall be 30 shekels. From 5 years old even to 20 shall be 20 shekels and 10 shekels. And if from a month old even to 5 years, then thy estimation of the male shall be 5, for the female shall be 3. And from 6 years old and above, it shall be 15 and 10 shekels respectively. And if he be poorer than thy estimation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to his ability. That vowed shall the priest value him. And if if it be a beast whereof men bring an offering unto Yahuwah, all that any man giveth of such unto Yahuwah shall be holy. He shall not alter it, nor change it, a good for bad, or bad for good. And if he shall change a beast for beast, then it shall exchange thereof, shall be holy. And if any unclean beast, of which they do offer sacrifice unto you, he shall present the beast before the priest. And if the priest value it, whether it be good or bad, you shall value it, who art the priest, so it shall be. And they're not talking about sacrifice here when they say unclean beasts. Perhaps they're talking about a horse or some other animal that has value that is being offered as an offering for the use of the priests and their family. That's what we're talking about here. Someone making a vow or giving something or offering service. And that's what they're talking about, valuing it. If they can't do it, then they can pay the value of it. And if he will redeem it at all, then it shall be a fifth part thereunto, unto thy estimation. When a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto Yahuwah, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad, as the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand. And if he that sanctify it redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of the money. And all of this really has no bearing for us today, because, of course, the whole priest, temple, or tabernacle sacrifice system was fulfilled in the middle of the 70th week when Yahushua said it's finished, it was over with. Even though they went through the motions for another 35 or 40 years, all of those motions were in vain, because he became the sacrifice once for all. He did away with the priest temple sacrifice the whole priest temple sacrifice system was done away with, and finally the desolation that was determined, well, it came with a flood in 70 AD and it was done. Not one stone of the temple was left upon another, just as the Messiah had foretold when he sat at the temple and gave them that prophecy, and also as it was foretold by Daniel. So we'll finish up here. And if a man shall sanctify unto Yahuwah some part of field of his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof. A homer barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. And if he sanctifies field in the year of Jubilee according to the estimation, it shall stand. And if he sanctify his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon unto him the money according to the years that remain, even unto the year of the Jubilee, and it shall be abated from thy estimation. I can't say I understand all of this, but I get a little feeling of what it's about. But like I said, how I would apply this to anything today, I know that in the New Testament that our Father, it's proclaimed that he loves a cheerful giver and he does not want anything coerced. And it was the same thing in the Old Testament. As far as the estimations in the temple, the shekels and all that stuff, it's here in the text. The priest shall reckon unto him the worth of thy estimation, even unto the year of the Jubilee, shall give thine estimation in that day as a holy thing unto Yahuwah. In the year of the Jubilee, the field shall return unto him of whom it was bought, even unto him whom the possession of the land did belong. And so I'm guessing, if someone wanted to give something, they wanted to give their land, or the produce of their land, that somehow there was a reason that an estimation was made according to the shekel of the temple. And he continues on here, 27 verse 25, and all thy estimation shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary, 20 gerahs shall be the shekel. And I'm sure they had a just weight and balance. They had real money. In other words, they didn't have this phony, baloney, legal tender garbage that they're foisting upon us today through the mystery Babylon monetary system. Only the firstlings of each, which should be Yahuwah's firstling, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be an ox or a sheep. It is Yahuwah. So the first fruits of the firstlings of beasts, the firstlings of the men were all to be sanctified unto Yahuwah. They were his because they were to signify the Passover when the death went through the land of Egypt and killed all the firstborn of beasts of man in Egypt, and everyone who did not have the lamb's blood on the lintels and doorposts of their house, the death entered in and killed the firstborn of all that house. And that's what, so that's why he says all of the firstborn are mine throughout all your generations. And of course he's speaking to national Israel that physically came out of Egypt. Verse 28, notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto Yahuwah of all that he hath, both a man, beast, of the field, of possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto Yahuwah. None devoted which shall be devoted of men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. And all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, of the fruit of the tree, is Yahuwah's. It is holy unto Yahuwah. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd, of the flock, whatever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto Yahuwah. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy, and it shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which Yahuwah commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. And that ends the book of Leviticus. And I think that ends our time for today. And as I always say, cross the border into His kingdom and live forever. There is nothing more important.
that I should company with something so divine. First he wakes, overjoyed, prospects of finding freeing me.